RadioInfluence.com.
Why, Crusher, it's good to see you.
You're listening to Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 101260 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
And welcome to Crush Performance, everybody. Jeff Crushell here, the con man behind the glass, keeping us on track. We're your weekly source for performance information. Listen, get to us. Crushperformance.com is the website. Sign up for our newsletter, get our podcast, and connect with us with questions, comments, smart remarks. Or if you have a topic you'd like us to look into, write to us, info@crushperformance.com. On Twitter, @JeffCrush, and on Facebook, Instagram, and our YouTube channel, search out Crush Performance. Today, a very unique show. It is the kickoff of winter meetings for Major League Baseball right now. Sport never seems to stop. There's so much action now in the offseason that if you're a fan of any sport, you can be a fan year-round. There's so much that's going on, especially if you're a fantasy sport person. Watching the moves in the offseason is almost as much fun as what goes on during the season. So, without question, Major League Baseball is one of those sports. So much going on this year. Coming off of an incredibly unique year, and maybe a unique 5 years. There has never been a sport, I dare say, that has changed as dramatically and as rapidly as the game of baseball. And today, that's going to be our topic. We're going to look at the international game. We're going to visit with Pete Caliendo, the president of the International Sports Group. And later in the show, we're going to talk about how organizations are responding to this changing landscape in baseball with the brand new manager of the Texas Rangers, Chris Woodward. We're going to get his opinion on the state of the game, how he's going to go about taking the leadership role of the Texas Rangers, and how that organization is setting themselves up to be perennial contenders for the World Series. It's going to be a fantastic conversation later in the show. We're off to a quick start here. So much to get to. Coming up after the break, we're going to talk the international game, coaching development, and how all of these changes in the game of baseball are influencing how we develop our young players with our good friend Pete Caliendo, the president of the International Sports Group, right after this, everybody, on Crush Performance.
If you have any performance questions, comments, or smart remarks, text Crusher at 101260 and follow him on Twitter at Jeff Crush. Now, here he is, the Crusher.
Hey, and welcome back to the show, everybody. Jeff Crushell here, the con man. This is Crush Performance. We're your weekly source for performance information. Listen, if you want to get in touch with us, please do so. CrushPerformance.com is the website. You can email us at info@crushperformance.com with your questions, comments, or smart remarks. Or if you have a topic that you'd like us to look into, let us know. We answer every single message we get, and we've dedicated segments, even entire episodes, to ideas that have come into our mailbox. So please get to us. Follow us on Twitter at Jeff Crush and on Facebook, Instagram, and our cool new YouTube channel. Just search out Crush Performance. Well, today, a really, really big show. I'm really excited for this time of the year. You know, we look at all the pro sports. It doesn't really stop now, does it? It goes year-round with player transactions, teams rebuilding, teams breaking down, teams building up. The offseason has as much action for the fans, especially in this new era of fantasy sports. But the offseason is sometimes as exciting as the season itself, and baseball is no exception there. Winter meetings are getting underway right now. And listen, it's going to be one heck of an offseason for baseball. It has been already, if you look at some of the changes that have been made in terms of player signings. There's been some big signings. But now you see the MLBPA starting to voice their concerns over how teams are operating in terms of their attitude towards being competitive. Tony Clark and the MLBPA have made some pretty serious comments here this last week. And not only that, this free agent market is incredible. There is some serious, serious talent available this offseason, and we may be heading towards the largest single contract in sport history, all depending where Bryce Harper lands and how they organize and construct that contract. But it's going to be gigantic, no matter how we look at it, and rightfully so. One of the best players in the history of the game, and he's still very, very young, so we're going to watch that with great interest. But all in all, baseball is healthy, and it's growing internationally. We're seeing players from all over the world now competing not just for college scholarships, but in minor league professional baseball, the independent leagues that are popping up, but also their presence at the major leagues is really, really good to see. And it has a lot to do with game development. And today I wanted to dive into that. So without further ado, I present, for the first time ever on Crush Performance, our good friend, Pete Caliendo. Pete Caliendo, I'm so happy to say, welcome to Crush Performance.
Crush, that sounds really good, man. It's great to be on the show. Love it.
Hey, great. Well, this has been a long time coming. I know I've been on your great show, Outside the Box, a number of times, and I've been really, really looking forward to having you on here. As we head into winter meetings, Pete, it's a pretty cool time of year for baseball. The sporting world is busy as ever with everything going on in terms of the NFL, NBA, NHL. Soccer is rumbling around in different parts of the world. But the baseball... the baseball show never really stops now, whether it's during the season or off the season. And right now, heading into winter meetings, there's been a lot of things going on behind the scenes.
You know what, there has, and there always is in baseball. It never stops. It's nonstop. I mean, you know, like anything else, if you're good, you're always trying to tweak and make yourself better in all kinds of areas, even if you won, right? If you won the World Series, you're not going to be satisfied. You still want to make sure your team gets that much better. So these guys never sleep. You know, matter of fact, on MLB Network, they had some interviews with some of the GMs talking about some of the things exactly what they're doing in the offseason.
And it's busy. It's nonstop. And for our listeners that don't know Pete Caliendo, I've known Pete for many, many years. He is a true blood baseball man. Pete, you are also a man that wears many hats. They're all baseball caps, by the way. You have Caliendo Sports International. You got your great podcast, Outside the Box, and the ISG as well, the International Sports Group. You were the vice president there. A very, very busy man in the world of sport and baseball.
Yeah, I've been very lucky, Crush. Let me tell you, for 37 years, you know, I've only known baseball. That's been my job. So I've been very lucky to do it. And I do run my own business, you know, take teams around the world. But my real passion, as you know, something that you have a passion for, and that's educating parents, coaches, and players in the development of the game. And I get a chance to do that, you know, with the International Sports Group that, you know, we travel all over the world. As, you know, we're very honored to have you as one of our teachers all the time, and you know, we're able to do 14 to 15 countries every year and help coaches in any way we can, especially, you know, at the grassroots level, which is it's, you know, I'm you know this very well, the grassroots level is one of the most important levels of baseball, is to help our parents and our volunteers. So very lucky to be able to do all that, enjoy it, and I think it's, you know, it's we're helping the game, we're giving back to the game, something that we've been very lucky to be in the game this long.
Oh, yeah. You know, knowing you and Tom O'Connell and all the good people over there at the Sports International Sports Group, such a great, great cause. I'm very proud to be part of it, and I'll help out, you know, Pete, as much as possible. But I really like the idea of coaching development, right? It's a critical part of the game, and I think it's something that we still need to continue to push forward for the sake of our young players, but keeping kids in the game, nothing better than providing resources for our valued coaches.
Absolutely, Crush. You hit it right on the button. You know, and I've been doing it almost actually with the coaches over 30 years, but in the game 37. And you know, the coaches, volunteers especially, they're so important. They give their time. You know, they do so much work, and we've got to give back to them, because if we don't develop the coaches that are working with their young kids, you hit it on the button. We got to keep them in the game, and also, as you know, around the world, as the game grows, we also want to get kids to play the game, right? That they're thinking about playing another game. Well, in order to do that, you've got to have very good coaches at the grassroots level, because they've got to make it the magic word fun, you know, for these kids. But also, we got to know how to make it fun. We can't just say, let's have fun. So, you know, that education is so important, and we just got to keep going. We got to do it at all levels. You know, countries, Canada, where you're at, you know, the leaders in coaches development, along with Australia, and also I believe the Netherlands, you know, now other countries are coming on board, looking at the successful programs at the long-term, you know, long-term development programs that Canada has and all these countries have. And hopefully everybody's getting better at it, and we're reaching all the grassroots level in every country.
Well, Pete, I'll tell you this right now. If the international numbers in terms of players getting scholarships now and signing pro are any indication, the sport is growing at a rapid pace internationally, and has a lot to do with your work. We're talking with Pete Caliendo, the vice president of the International Sports Group. Pete, listen to me. I have a question for you. You grew up a Chicago boy, correct?
Yep.
So you have Caliendo, Caliendo Sports International. You have the ISG, the International Sports Group. You have a very, you're a man of international intrigue. Let's put it that way when it comes to baseball. Hey, what was the draw to the international side? I mean, being a really strong, I mean, hey, Chicago is a great, great baseball community, and it's huge over there. What led you to the international side of things, Pete?
You know, that's a good question because, you know, to make a long story short, if it wasn't for mentors, especially my mentor, Dick Birmingham, that got me involved when I was, you know, less than, well, I was 15 years old when I started Mickey Home Baseball School as a student and met Dick there. But then in, when I was 20, he took me as a coach with the USA team to compete internationally in 1990. To compete in the Pan Am Games for the USA team. At that time, the U.S. didn't have a national team at 16, but had a pilot program. Well, I was fortunate enough to take over the pilot program for 6 years, and that got me going from there, and then it just snowballed. You know, like anything else, we tell young coaches all the time, if you stay in something long enough and you do it well and you just do your best and are honest, good things will happen. If you were looking for the quick fix to become a coach real fast and do things real quick, that's just not going to happen. And I was lucky because of good mentors, and things snowballed, as I said. And, you know, from there, you know, I was able to, Paul Seiler, the president of USA Baseball, you know, promoted me to, nominated me to the what's called now the World Baseball Softball Confederation, which governs baseball worldwide. And I'm on a tournament committee, and a tournament committee for 18 years. And so I get also get a chance to travel with all the top international events like the Pan Am Games, the World Cup, and the Olympics. So I've been very fortunate to be able to, you know, be on that board, on that committee.
Yeah, great stuff, Pete. And you know what? I think you mentioned a couple of really important things I want to touch on there. The international game, as we mentioned, is growing crazy. It has a lot to do with the work of organizations like the WBSC, which is finally really, really getting some traction as a governing body. But being back in the Olympics, Pete, how huge is this for international baseball? And it looks like, if all things go well, there's going to be three Olympic cycles from Japan to France to LA going back-to-back-to-back Olympics. Huge for the game.
Absolutely. Now, WBSC, headed up by, as you know, Ricardo Ricari, the president, have done a great job of getting baseball, you know, along with the board and everybody else around the world, getting baseball back in the Olympics. It's critical. It's funding for, and it's really critical to the small country. You know, the big countries, they've got some pretty good funding, obviously, from their programs and their fundraising. But the small countries, they don't have a lot of money to promote the game and to operate a federation. And to be in the Olympics gives them Olympic money through their Olympic committee. And that gives them a start. And it also promotes the game worldwide much more. The kids see it. They want to be part of it. So it is huge that baseball is back and softball are back into the Olympics together. And then they've done a great job, as you said, in working to have, you know, continue that Olympic movement for the next three Olympics.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. We're talking with Pete Caliendo of Caliendo Sports International. Outside the Box is his great podcast, and he is the vice president of the International Sports Group. Pete, one of the coolest things I've seen here recently, you know, I do a lot of work, as you know, for Major League Baseball around the world, promoting the game and helping countries develop their high-performance pathways for their athletes as they progress through the game. But one of the cool things that I've seen recently was our trip to New Zealand. Fantastic. But the birth of a professional team, which is very, very important, not just for New Zealand, which is, of course, a rugby-driven country. A couple of cool things that came out of this that I learned while I was there is, one, the rugby guys who don't necessarily make the top tier, I guess, levels of that game, now have another outlet to go pro because these guys are talented, talented athletes. And number two, that New Zealand, with this professional team they have that's going to be playing in the Australian Professional League, now they have a pathway from grassroots development right up to professional ball for the players in that country. That could drive the game to another level in that country. Very, very cool to see.
Absolutely. And you know, New Zealand, they've done a great job, as you know, and not only at, you know, with the professional team now, but also the grassroots level. And I honestly believe, and I know you know this, you know, federations out there are working hard, and if they focus hard at the grassroots level, developing that, but also have an end goal for the kids, which would be a professional team, which other countries have and other countries are trying to develop, then kids have that goal not only to stay, in, you know, to play the game, but also to continue playing the game because now they see they've got an opportunity to play at a higher level, which also could lead eventually, you know, to playing in the States or playing in, you know, professional baseball in the U.S.
Right. And speaking of the U.S., Pete, let's talk about this. The international game we know is growing at a very, very rapid pace, but there's still work to do domestically here, here in Canada and in the U.S. as well. The North American game, as strong as it is, I think there's still a lot of holes and maybe holes to plug in that dam. A lot of opportunity and potential yet domestically here as well.
You know, Crush, you're correct about that, and I'll tell you why. Because sometimes, like I said earlier, when you're at the top and you're winning international events and you're doing really well, you forget about the development aspect because you're doing so well. And there's no doubt about it. USA Baseball is now doing a fantastic job of promoting the game. We've actually seen an increase this year in some participation numbers, which we've never seen. And as you know, it's been a 10% decrease under the age, 12 and under in the U.S. for many years, simply because there's other sports that are a lot more fun, and we didn't have an educational program for coaches. Now we have a program online, but they're continuing to get better because of the fact that we were losing players. And you can't blame players, but, we love the game of baseball, but obviously, it's not exactly a fast-paced game, so we've got to make some adjustments. You know, like hockey did, as you explained on many of your shows, hockey went to three games on one rink for young kids. Why? Because they touched the puck more. Well, baseball's trying to do that too. As you know, the WBSC has started, a game that, where you only have five or six players on a team, where that way the ball touches, the players touch the ball more, there's more excitement, there's more fun. So in the U.S., we're trying to institute that, but it takes some time because there's so many factions, so many different organizations, and it takes a lot of education to be able to develop that grassroots level.
Yeah, and it's coming, and I like the initiative. We had Ricardo Ficarri, the president of the WBSC, on the show here in the fall, early in the fall, Pete, and we talked about that Baseball 5 and what a great tool it is. And they kind of compared it to sort of like a beach volleyball event, where it's fun, it's fast, it's furious. Adults right down to little kids are loving it. I think it's going to be a really, really good way to get kids introduced to the game and to, for the older kids who might be multi-sport athletes or not focused on pursuing sport as a serious adventure, a great way for people just to participate in a game that we might call a diamond sport.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a lot more fun. And kids, we could always progress them to the actual sport as they get a little bit older. But when they're starting at 5, 6, 7 years old, we've got T-ball. T-ball is not real exciting because the ball sits on the tee. But when you're constantly hitting the ball and constantly touching the ball, then kids get excited about it. And from there, you can develop further and make the game, teach the game a little bit more. And the other thing is, Crush, you've been a big proponent of this, and the U.S. is now really pushing it, the multi-sport athlete. We've got to get these 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-olds playing different sports, not focusing, because there's still that mentality here in the U.S. that, if I start them at 8 years old, only baseball, by the time they're 15, 16, 17, they're going to have a scholarship. Well, you have a whole show on that, and I listen to all your shows. We've got to stress to our kids here in the U.S. and our parents and educate them about being multi-sport athletes, so that way we get better athletes in the game. And most likely, if they're better athletes in the game, they're going to stay in the game longer.
Yeah, and that's the key, Pete. Keep them in the game, and not just keep them in the game having fun, but now the battle, the real battle, Pete, that we're seeing now. Let's try to keep them healthy, for crying out loud, because the injury rates in professional baseball are off the charts, and we're really trying to hone in and do some things there to curb the numbers, but they have been consistent, if not even climbing, over the last 5 to 10 years, despite everything we know. But the injury rates in the developmental level of the game, and especially in the high school level of the game, as we push and push and push for more velocity, Pete, I think we're heading to a catastrophic time in the developmental, pathways for our elite players.
Crush, and you're the expert, because I listen to you all the time, and I love it. I'm lucky to be with you and travel the world with you at times. I was just this week in a national high school convention, our U.S. high school convention, spoke there, and one of the talks was about, kids, where do they begin getting hurt? Where we keep educating kids in high school and coaches at the high school level, but where we need to educate is the grassroots level again. I know I kept harping on that about grassroots. If we educate the parents and coaches about the strength and development that you're talking about, then, hopefully we can be, start reducing some of these injuries because they're in better shape when it comes to throwing the baseball. But what happens a lot of times is they just play, they throw a lot or they pitch a lot, and then they get to a certain level and they start this velocity program and their bodies aren't ready for it. So I think you hit a big issue, and I know you're going to be talking about that at the winter meetings coming up.
Yeah, I sure am. And one of the big conversations there is just the ideas of recovery. And we're doing our best to help our guys recover. There's a lot of interesting things that we know now about recovery and how the body responds to recovery strategies. We'll talk about that in an upcoming show for sure, Pete, because it's an incredibly important conversation. But one thing I think we've realized at the professional level of the game, and even the collegiate level of the game, is a lot of the injuries that are happening there are inherited. They're already pre-existing, and it's just when you get into that incredibly difficult schedule that is professional and collegiate sports, that's where you hit the breaking point. So I think you're right, Pete. There's no doubt in my mind we need to do a better job, and it's not about pitch counts anymore. It has to be a combination of pitch counts, intensity, and year-round management of our athletes. And we get back to your point about multi-sport athletes. It's going to be critical, very critical for the future generations of the game, Pete.
You know, I agree 100%, Crush. And I think if we continue to do shows like this, if we, you know, go to the national conventions, if our governing bodies are educated in this, you know, as far as the sport, then we're, you know, again, it's a global sport. And if we need to reach out to everybody, because, you know, now with technology, everybody sees that, you know, hey, it's all about velocity. Well, the smart coaches, the educated ones will tell you velocity is part of the development program. Yes, you can get, you know, you can throw harder, but if you're not physically fit, you're not strong in the right areas, fundamentally, or what people say mechanically, now they call it movement patterns. You know, if you don't have good movement patterns, if you don't have a combination of all these things, you know, you're going to get hurt. And that's something that we really got to educate everybody in.
Yeah, well, it's coming down the pipeline, Pete, and we'll keep pushing for sure and educating for sure. Listen, man, so great to have you on the show here. It's a long time overdue, but I'm glad we did it as we head into winter meetings. And we'll continue the tradition as the baseball season's right around the corner. And boy, oh boy, everybody has their eye on the free agent market right now. This could be one of the most exciting contracts, or maybe even more than one exciting contracts, plural, in the history of sport.
Oh, absolutely. I'll tell you what, I guess maybe I should have worked a little harder, huh?
And, you know, yeah, you and me both, brother.
$350 million, that would be pretty nice, wouldn't it, to play baseball?
Yeah, it's good work. It's good work if you can get it.
But you're right. But then for our young guys out there, you know, these guys, as you know, Crush, because you worked with them, these major league guys, you know, they work hard. People, you know, they see the end result, the money, but these guys put in a lot of time. And one thing about all these major league players, they love playing the game. They're just like 8-year-olds. So they've really put their time in, and, you know, and God bless them for making that type of money.
Yeah, absolutely, Pete. Well, great stuff. So glad to have you on. Have a great, great holiday season, Pete, and we'll be sure to talk to you here in the next few months.
Crush, thanks for having me, man. Happy holidays. Stay warm.
And there you have it. A great conversation with our good friend, Pete Caliendo. Such a great ambassador for the game at every single level, at the four corners of the world. These guys really do a lot of work for developing the game here domestically and internationally as well. So I want to thank Pete for that, especially at this time of year as Major League Baseball winter meetings get underway in Las Vegas this weekend. That said, coming up after this break, we're going to talk to the brand new manager of the Texas Rangers about the state of the game of baseball, his approach to leading that team forward, and how the Texas Rangers are positioning themselves to be perennial contenders for the World Series of Baseball. A great conversation with Chris Woodward coming up right after this on Crush Performance. So, I love to read fiction, business, history, and most certainly sport and performance books, but probably like you, I found my reading time slipping away in a busy, busy schedule. What would it be like if we all listened more? Listen anytime, anywhere, on any device, at home, at the gym, on your commute, or just on the go. Well, there's no better place to listen than Audible. Listening to audiobooks inspires us, motivates us, even brings us closer. And Audible has the largest selection of audiobooks on the planet. Audible content includes an unmatched selection of not just audiobooks, but original audio shows, news, comedy, and more from leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, and business information providers. There's never been a better time to experience Audible. Maybe think about giving yourself the gift of listening. And while you're at it, think about giving the gift of Audible to someone on your list. Right now, for a limited time, you can get 3 months of Audible for just $6.95 a month. That's more than half off the regular price. For more, go to audible.com/crush. That's audible.com/KRUSH, or text Crush to 500-500 to get started. There's never been a better time to experience Audible.
Find out what it takes to be a top performer. Get the Crush blog, podcast, and newsletter at crushperformance.com. Now, back to the show.
And welcome back to Crush Performance, everybody. Jeff Crochelle here, the con man. We're your weekly source for performance information. Listen, get in touch with us. Crushperformance.com is the website. Sign up for our newsletter, subscribe to the podcast, and get us any questions, comments, or smart remarks you might have. Info at Crush Performance is the email. Follow us on Twitter at Jeff Crush and on Facebook, Instagram, and our YouTube channel. Just search out Crush Performance. Today, we are talking off-season baseball. As winter meetings get underway in Las Vegas, Major League Baseball is set for some real challenges coming off of a very, very peculiar year. I don't think there's ever been a game that's changed so rapidly, so quickly as the game of baseball. And it's mostly driven by the numbers, I believe. The interesting thing is, it's all going to come back, I believe, to what really counts, and that's the player on the field and how they execute the game. All this new data is going to be powerful drivers for how we move forward, but the game has changed and it's still changing. How are we going to deal with it moving forward? Well, it's already influenced how we prepare our athletes for the game, but how are organizations going to respond to these rapid changes? And as the game remains in this state of flux, how can you possibly plan for success? Well, I thought we'd go to the pros. So I'm very proud to say we are now joined by Crush favorite, the brand new manager for the Texas Rangers, Chris Woodward. Woody, first off, huge congratulations on the position and welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Crush. It's always a pleasure, man.
Well, since we've been watching the press conferences and the big announcement that you are officially heading up the Texas Rangers, I've really been looking forward to talking to you, Woody. And I think maybe to start like this, how your past experience as a player, your time in Seattle and the Dodgers has led you to this and how it's sort of maybe fed into your perspective of how you want to organize and lead an organization into the future here. Really, really exciting time for you.
It's been kind of on the cusp the last couple of years. You know, I got an interview last year, and you know, it really started to open my eyes to what it would be that I would try to create. You know, as far as my vision and culture, and you know, just my aspirations to bring to this organization. So, you know, I think all my playing experience, the ups and downs, the grind of you know, just my playing career. How it all kind of came full circle really helped me to kind of define, obviously, you know, what I want to see out of an organization, but also what I want to see out of every player. It just gives you the humility, the understanding of how difficult this game is. And, you know, nowadays, the way the game is moving, I truly believe, you know, there's a lot of room for advantage. I know there's a lot of numbers being thrown around. There's, you know, the analytics, the data, all these things. There's, you know, sports science, the biomechanics, all these things are kind of reshaping the way we look at the game. And I think the biggest advantage that, you know, an organization can have today is kind of stay ahead of the curve without over analyzing everything, I guess. You got to have some baseball sense to it. And I can't wait to just, you know, get our players to be a little bit more understanding of it all, and understand how it benefits them and how it can create advantage in their eyes and also in our team's eyes. But obviously, you know me, Crush, the biggest thing for me is culture. The biggest thing for me is getting guys to believe in something bigger than themselves. And as a unit, you know, if they can do that, you know, it doesn't matter what people say around us. It doesn't matter what the outside world is saying. You know, as long as we have belief inside those walls of the clubhouse, it's a pretty powerful thing. And you know, I've been very, very pleasantly, I wouldn't say surprised, because I didn't really have any, you know, expectations as far as where they were at, as far as culture goes. But these guys care, man. These guys are good kids. They're a young group, and I can't wait to just kind of push them every day to get better and, you know, and just watch them grow.
Wow. We're talking with Chris Woodward, the new manager for the Texas Rangers. Hey, before we get into the Texas and the lay of the land there, let's talk about your background a little bit, Woody. You know, you came up and spent most of your time with the Toronto Blue Jays, who at the time, I believe I was part of that organization at the time, and I thought we were really trying to push that front edge in terms of where we're at and our knowledge with player development and long-term development, which was a lot of fun. But you've been through some progressive organizations as well. Your time with Seattle has been a very, very progressive thinking drinking club that haven't quite had the success that you would think they would have. But then your time with the Dodgers. Now, there is an organization that is dedicated to performance, and they invest in the infrastructure. Man, what a great timetable, or I guess timeline of experiences for you now to take to, towards Texas.
Yeah, no, it really was, because I guess when I was in Seattle, you know, we were pretty big, and we tried to push the envelope as far as the sport performance with the body movement stuff and the training. You know, it was a different method of training than, you know, and that obviously that's right up your alley. And it was eye-opening to me to kind of see how that would play out. And, you know, I felt like it really benefited players. And then, you know, when I got to the Dodgers, it was heavily analytically driven in every way. Not in a bad way, obviously, but just, you know, there was a lot of numbers and just people dedicated to certain things within the organization. And I'd never been a part of that in Seattle. We weren't that analytically driven from a decision-making standpoint. So it was, you know, very eye-opening to me to go to L.A. But then to see the infrastructure, you know, especially on the minor league side in L.A., and you get the sports science teams that, you know, really try to maximize every athlete. I think that's kind of where the secret sauce is in nowadays. The numbers are great, and you know, I think every team has those now. But it's like how to maximize every human that we have in the organization while maintaining the idea that we truly care for them. Because we can't lose sight of the human factor, and I think that's where a lot of teams are making the mistake of just going strictly by the numbers, and you know they're ignoring the fact that these are, you know, very talented human beings that, you know, have all different backgrounds and all different, you know, ways that they got to the point that they're at. And I think that's, you know, when you can get guys to, you know, not only buy in from a, you know, psychological standpoint and show that they're cared about, I mean, you got a powerful movement forward. And, you know, obviously teaching them the knowledge base of what's happening around them is critical nowadays, because there's so much information out there. And, you know, you'd be a fool to ignore it.
Yeah, absolutely. But I like what you said as well, Woody. I like that you have this idea that the numbers are incredibly important. The human side is absolutely critical, because let's face it, it's an emotional, passionate sport. The performance is one thing, but the human side is as important. But not to overanalyze. I really like that approach in today's day and age, Woody, because I tell you right now, the way sport is going, we are maybe... Would it be safe to say, if I were to say to you, we maybe have a tendency or have tended to overreact to all the numbers that are coming in? We're sort of recalibrating now and finding out what's really significant in the real world of sport performance?
Absolutely. And that's what I'm saying. That's where the secret sauce kind of lies.
Yeah.
Because there's so much out there that, you know, everybody's, you know, taking information out of a fire hose. And it's the truly good, you know, or the great organizations that kind of can take all that information, distill it down, and give a player exactly what he needs. Not necessarily what, you know, the guy next to him needs, but, you know, when it's individualized, you know, that's where the truly special sauce lies. And, you know, I think every human moves differently. They react differently. They respond differently to, you know, to different things. And obviously as a manager, there are certain things that are non-negotiable. With the way we prepare, the way we play, you know, the competitiveness, the energy that we hold, all those things to me are non-negotiable. Like I'm gonna set a pretty high standard, and also the standard in the way we treat each other. There has to be care. There has to be, you know, respect. But outside of that, I think, you know, it fascinates me to watch all the different people and the way they, like I said, the way they move their bodies. And that's where the science can really, really identify how to maximize each guy. You know, I think there was always a semi-cookie-cutter approach to the way we taught hitting, the way we taught pitching, the way we, you know, taught how to get a jump, you know, when you're stealing a base. All these things, there was, you know, there were gurus, you know, throughout, you know, and now the gurus nowadays are the ones that can actually specify what makes Paul Goldschmidt great, or what makes Corey Seager great, or, you know, what makes Ruben Odor, you know, special. How do you identify their characteristics that can maximize each one of them?
Oh,
I think that's my, like, passion. I love doing that, and I want to inspire our players to learn it and to understand it, because the more they do, the closer they're going to get to maximizing their abilities.
Oh, I love it. We're talking with Chris Woodward, the newly appointed manager for the Texas Rangers. Music to my ears, Chris Woodward, I'm telling you right now. And now that you are in a leadership role, this is going to be a really, really interesting time with you to sort of share this vision with everybody in the organization. Let's talk about the organization. A really exciting time for them as well. They're at a very, very interesting time in terms of their organizational development, new stadium on the way. They're really rethinking the future. So though this is not really truly ground zero, they're taking a really, really interesting route moving forward into the future. I'm excited to watch this team, Chris.
Yeah, it's it is kind of, I would say it is kind of ground zero, because, you know, not that they were behind in any way. You know, I think we had a lot of good processes in place. And you know, when they brought me in, you know, I was pretty clear in that I was going to, you know, challenge those processes and just, you know, try to make them as efficient as possible, or if we need to, move in a different direction in some way. So, I'm excited about it. Obviously, there's a, you know, the talent that we have on the offensive side is, you know, comparable to anybody. But we just got to, like I said, make them more efficient. Make, you know, try to maximize their abilities a little better. And that comes with growth. That comes with learning. There's going to be some ups and downs in that part. But I mean, the athletes we have on that side of the ball are, you know, there really is no better. I mean, we have some phenomenal athletes, and hopefully we can, you know, get them to understand some things to make them better. Obviously on the pitching side, we're, you know, I wouldn't say we're thin. We're just young. You know, we have a lot of young arms, and, you know, we're going to have to get creative with our staff. And, you know, the biggest thing is we got to make them believe, man. We got to give them as much ammo as we can when it comes to the information, not only about, you know, opposing hitters, but about their own pitch characteristics. Like, we got to let them know what they go out there with and how to compete with it. And at the end of the day, it's about competing. So, you know, we can have all the information we want, but, you know, my goal is to get them to just go out there and compete, you know, with fearless conviction, and, you know, they'll be fine. Now, we're going to have our ups and downs, but we're going to get through them, because we're going to, you know, we're going to battle our butts off all the way to the end. I think it's a great starting point to have that. I don't really care what people say, how many wins we're going to have or how many we're not going to have. Our guys have a chip on their shoulder. They're tired of hearing the fact that we're going to be in last place. And I love that about them, because, you know, we're out there to prove people wrong.
We're talking with Chris Woodward, the manager for the Texas Rangers. And I really like, you say, ground zero. And I can't wait to watch these guys respond and perform, because I have a really good feeling what's in store for the Texas Rangers here, Woody. But as you mentioned, every human being in the organization, baseball is such a unique game. It's one of the reasons we love it so much. You get these young guys coming into a minor league system that is, you know, if it's set up right, you can have progressive long-term athlete development plans. That is one thing that really, really excites me about the game of baseball. And it all culminates with this long-term vision of competing at the highest level of the game. This is going to resonate, obviously, as you mentioned, down through your developmental systems. A year, 2 years, 3 years from now, Woody, this is going to be one powerful machine.
Yeah, and I think that's the goal. You know, obviously, we want to win tomorrow. It's not like we're expecting to lose tomorrow. You know, we're not sacrificing anything to win later. I just think, you know, you have to have, and I've told a lot of our players this already, you have to set that championship belief or mindset now. Like, you've got to set that culture and that atmosphere, those expectations now. Whether we win it this year or not, you know, it doesn't make any difference. Like, we have to, you know, abide by those, you know, those laws of that championship belief right now. And, you know, once you do that, you can grow off of that. The problem is, a lot of teams, they set their standards, you know, lower, just hoping that they get to those lower standards, and then, you know, they never really push above that. So, you know, I told Joey Gallo, like, listen, you're a Ferrari, you know, I want you to have the highest expectations for yourself. So if you ever come close to those expectations, you're likely going to be a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's, you know, you look at throughout the league, you know, I'm not okay with setting our standards lower now. You know, if we win 65 games or 75 or 85 or 90, it doesn't matter. You know, we need to go out there and compete every pitch of every game with that intent, with the preparation behind us. And, you know, if we keep doing that, you know, we will win games. The results will be there. But we need to be process-driven. We need to be, you know, that championship process has to be in place now.
Yeah, I really like it. Chris, you know, you've had a chance to, again, as we mentioned, a great, great playing career. You've been around some very progressive organizations and some great leaders there as well, and great coaches. You know, as a young player, you look to the veterans around you and you learn a lot from those guys. As a coach, you and I have talked, and I know a lot of the players who are now coaching that I know, and some of the coaches as well, they learn from other coaches. I learned so much from working with the players and watching the coaches work with the players. I think that's a powerful thing. But some of the influential people in your life, Chris, that sort of got you to the point where you're thinking the way you do now and you're taking this sort of approach into leadership, the big leadership role with the Texas Rangers. Who are some of those important people? I mean, you look at some of the people at the Dodgers you were around, Seattle, the Blue Jays over the years, and some of the things going on in sports. We look at the Rams, the Red Sox, the Cubs, the Spurs, Greg Popovich. I mean, some great leaders. Is there anybody that you sort of maybe look at and go, okay, wow, that's a great approach, you know, just as you were going through the game in through your years?
Absolutely. I think I'm talking to one right now. So obviously you were, you know, instrumental in my career as far as, you know, just getting to look at things on such a deeper level and such a higher level, obviously with, you know, the strength and conditioning, the sports performance. You opened my eyes and your passion just kind of, you know, obviously made me passionate about it and understand the value of it. We both know Butterfield, you know, he got me thinking on a much higher level as far as, you know, the defensive side, just the game itself, having confidence in myself, having confidence in, you know, knowing that what I bring every day, you know, whether I'm struggling or not struggling, you know, at the plate, was enough. And I think that that was a big one for me.
Mm-hmm.
When I look around the league, in baseball, football, you know, Pete Carroll comes to mind.
Yes.
Like you mentioned, Popovich, Steve Kerr. All these guys, you know, I've watched and read, and Phil Jackson. I mean, these guys, you know, were, you know, I've read all their books and all their quotes, and just, you know, those types of leaders are the ones that I kind of obviously follow. Not only because they're positive guys, but just because there's growth there. There's long-term growth. There's caring about the human. You know, because when these guys have life, like they have wives, kids. You know, they came from certain areas in the world where in the baseball, it's so diverse. You know, it's fascinating to me to see how all those pieces kind of fit together and, you know, how we can play with guys from Colombia and Venezuela and Korea and Japan and, you know, Australia, all these from all over the world and come together for a sole purpose, you know, winning the championship together. So that to me is like the number one. I love it. I mean, I love coming into that clubhouse every day and seeing that. So when I see other coaches that have that mindset of, you know, we're going to get better, but we're going to get better every day, but we're also going to grow together. We're going to go through the tough times, you know, and all those, you know, all their quotes, and they're real. Those are things that I see that they're like real. It's real advice. There's no, you know, phony messages. Those guys live it. They breathe it. They care. They're passionate about it. And that's kind of what, obviously, that's what I stand for. And, you know, the honesty and integrity that, you know, I've lived my life by through the end, through all the good and the bad, you know, that's my foundation. And those guys share that similar foundation.
Great stuff. We're talking with Chris Woodward, the manager for the Texas Rangers. And thank you for the accolades, Chris. I wasn't fishing for that in any way, shape, or form, but greatly appreciated for sure. We always say here on the show, and I'm with you, I always like to watch these innovative leaders to see how they, one, harness potential and performance, but also how they deal with hardships. It's just really, really interesting to me, and I think we're going to be watching you with great interest to see how this organization comes in. You're going to be one of those great leaders that we watch. Chris, to wrap this up, I know you got a busy, busy schedule. Listen, I want to talk to you about the changing game of baseball. I don't think in the history of sport, and man, I would really like to get a hold of a really well-versed sport historian to see if there's ever been a sport that's changed as rapidly and as much as the game of baseball over the last couple of years. And you mentioned it earlier, it all sort of goes back into that spiral of analytics and numbers. But man, oh man, if you look at some of the numbers coming out of this last year, the last 2 years, the last 3 years, this is a game that's changing at a rapid, rapid pace.
No, absolutely. It's hard to almost try to figure out what's going to happen next. I think that's, for everybody in this game, it's not only trying to stay ahead of the curve, but trying to determine where is this game going to go. And like I was saying earlier, it's that part of it is I look forward to more than anything, because I don't necessarily think it's going to be completely analytically driven. I think the game is going to come back down to, the athletes. It's going to come back down to, where do the advantages lie? Because everybody has the numbers nowadays, so the numbers no longer represent as much of an advantage. I think it's how you can maximize the athletes, but yet get them to go out there and psychologically just believe that they're better than the rest of the competition, I think is going to be crucial. And it's like how you do that. It's not always just a pep talk and a psychological coach that gets them to believe it. It's in the biomechanics. It's in the trust in what they're doing and the trust in the information. So when they go out there, they're fully armed, and they should have complete conviction in what they're doing based on how their, either their pitch characteristics go or how the information goes. And, if they got holes on Mike Trout, they know that this is how we're going to get this guy out, because it's been proven how we get him out. And I think from the flip side, like the hitters, they're going to have to go up there knowing, okay, this is where Justin Verlander is going to get me out. This is where I'm going to look for the ball and how am I going to hit it. And you can design your training around that. And I think that's where, that's where getting back to playing the game is going to be really, really important.
Oh, Chris Woodward, you've got me fired up, man. I want to get back into the action, mister. You've got me inspired. Hey, listen, Chris, truthfully, though, congratulations. This is a great, great a hire for the Texas Rangers, well, well deserved on your part. And we are going to be watching with great interest, and we wish you and the entire organization all the best as we head into winter meetings here coming up this weekend. And the 2019 season is right around the corner.
Awesome. Thanks, Chris. It's always a pleasure, brother.
Oh, so much to learn. So much to learn. Does it ever end? Fantastic conversation with Chris Woodward right there. We're really, really going to be interested to watch this team. Such a unique approach. His background really, really lends to this leadership role. So we're going to watch that with great interest. As we've said in the past couple shows, we always look to the pros to learn, to see what to do, but what not to do. We watch to see what really makes things tick. And we also watch to see how organizations and individuals handle adversity, because that's what sport's all about. Great conversation right there. One worth sharing. There's no doubt about it. You can go to our website, crushperformance.com, to get this podcast and share it with your friends, your family, your teammates, your coaches as well. Got to thank Pete Caliendo for joining us, and also Chris Woodward. Fantastic mid-off-season baseball talk right here as winter meetings are underway. That's all the time we have for today, everybody. I want to thank you for tuning in as well. Coming up next week, we get into the Crush gift for the athlete, our favorite time of year, so stay tuned for that. Have a great week. Talk to you next time on Crush Performance.
Goodbye now. Don't forget to write.
This is an Ian Beckles Flava in Your Ear quick fix on Radio Influence.
This Kareem Hunt thing won't go away. Kareem Hunt, if you saw the video of Kareem Hunt, I went back and I watched that video over and over and over and over. I watched it quite a few times. I watched interviews with Kareem Hunt. I watched interviews with a young lady. And Kareem Hunt got, okay? Because that young lady had one thing on her mind. That was to get money. I'm telling you. Because if you looked at the video, she really was the one in the offensive stance. He was kind of trying to be cool, like, get your ass out of here. She rolls up on him. I don't know what she said. Allegedly, she's using the N-word quite loosely. I don't really give a rat's ass. You shouldn't put your hands on a young lady. If you watch that video, a lot of people are comparing it to Ray Rice. Now, Ray Rice balled his fist up and cold cocked a girl asleep and try to drag her out of the elevator. That was substantially different than what happened with Kareem Hunt. He walked up, the girl got in his face, he pushed the girl. That was his first strike. That was a mistake. Then the girl came back and swung at him and hit him in the face. And that kind of lit, set him off a little bit. His boys and his girls were trying to get in front. Then he pushed his boy, who pushed her, and pushed her down. She was on the ground. And the part that's is really going to kill him in the end is him going back and kicking her. Now, kicking anybody is disgusting, and it's cowardly and makes you a punk. If you watch the video, he might watch the video and go, God, that was stupid. Because he didn't really kick her to hurt her. You can't kick somebody the right way, okay? But if you look at it, it was just a stupid gesture, and it didn't make any sense, really.
You can find Ian Beckles' Flavor in Your Ear on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.